Ready to go. Better. Are there's good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down. Black or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Pete Davidson is talking about what it was like when Trump hosted SNL back in 2015.
He was like weird all week. He like faked a phone call during a table read. Right as we started, he was like, oh, hello. He goes, oh. Fantastic. Okay, great. And then he hung up and he goes, hey, everybody, my book just went number one. And we're all like, yo, that phone didn't ring. How did he have time to say that? Because you answered and went, yup. Oh, my God. That's like, he didn't even go, hello. Oh, wow. That's awesome, man. Like that. He was just like, hello. Oh, that's great. Oh, great. My book went number one, everybody. And we were like, ugh.
I was there. Yeah, I witnessed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you describe that?
We think it was fake, but we don't have proof, but.
Did Donald Trump say it?
Yeah.
It was fake.
I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
But that must have been odd. What was he like as a comedy partner? Because I've met the man, and I've talked to him before, but I've never done a bit with him.
It was interesting. You know, we did the, Cecily and I do this porn stars sketch, that we write,
Yeah, sure. You know, this is, may I show this?
Yes, right? of course.
This is, and you did it with him.
Yeah, we did it with him. Actually, the last time we got to do it was with him. Yeah. There you go.
This could be a documentary.
Yes.
So how did you talk this? The man's running for president. How did you talk him into it?
Well, we were kind of rehearsing, and he was like, "Do you think I should do the porn star sketch?" And I was like, "Yeah," because I wanted to get my sketch on.
Was it your pitch?
And it's me and Cecily and Colin Jost. All right. So, anyways, and he goes, "But I'm running for president," and I go, "Well, I think it shows you have a good sense of humor." And then I was like, oh, my God, am I sabotaging his campaign?
What did you really think in that moment?
I don't want him to win, but I don't, is it going to be because of the sketch I do with him with porn stars, showing him with porn stars, and it seems like, oh, that's not, doesn't matter.
Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, had a secret shell company set up not only to pay off Stormy Daniels, but to collect millions of dollars in secret payments from companies and a firm link to a Russian oligarch. We know about these secret payments because Cohen's bank records were leaked. But last night, we got a truly crazy story about why the person who leaked those bank records decided to do it.
The New Yorker, speaking to a law enforcement official who claims to be the individual who leaked Michael Cohen's bank records, a whistleblower, quote, the official had grown alarmed after being unable to find two important reports on Cohen's financial activity in a government database. The official, worried that that information was being withheld from law enforcement, released the remaining documents. The two missing reports reportedly involved more than $3 million in additional transactions, which we have not seen, triple the amount in the report that was released last week.
Wow, so an anonymous law enforcement official discovered that some of Cohen's bank records detailing more than $3 million in secret payments were missing and decided to leak the rest of them. Man, you know a story is crazy when it involves a deep throat and an actual porn star.
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. Tell me lies. Oh, no, you can't disguise. You can't disguise. You can't disguise. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
At one point, he started to attack the press. And it's just me and my boss and him. He has a huge office. And he's attacking the press. And there were no cameras. There was nothing going on. And I said, you know, that is getting tired. Why are you doing this? You're doing it over and over, and it's boring, and it's time to end that. You know, you've won the nomination. And why do you keep hammering at this? And he said, you know why I do it? I do it to discredit you all and demean you all, so when you write negative stories about me, no one will believe you.
Come with me now. Back then, it was a happier time. Though we should have seen a warning that the two biggest movies were Civil War and Apocalypse.
East End was once a happy town, where harmony and love was busting out at all the seams and in the trees above. The doves of peace were laying eggs. There were no signs of strife, for each man loved his neighbor and sometimes his neighbor's wife. But a sudden change soon come about. Storm clouds were in the sky. Nobody stopped to kiss a body coming through the rye. For each man eyed his neighbor with malice and with hate. Housewives no longer spilled the beans across the garden gate. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. It was sewer pipes versus slop pails. The town was split in two. With profane propaganda, the air was often blue. The sewer and water faction ran a sanitary plank. They said shallow wells and slop pails and toilets always stank. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. But those slop pailers were stubborn. They fought with tooth and nail. They said our nitwit council should be languishing in jail. They told how high taxation and plumbers' union fees would throw us in the poorhouse and they'd throw away the keys. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do. But when the vote was counted, the slop pailers met defeat. And then they started tearing up our quiet village street. Now peace and harmony once more replaced the grapes of wrath. So when next you visit East End, just stop in and have a bath. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted water mains and sewers and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pails do.
The one-year anniversary of the start of Robert Mueller's investigation, which is the first anniversary Trump actually remembered. Just ask his wife, Melanie.
President Trump marked the occasion by tweeting, quote, "Congratulations, America. We are now into the second year of the greatest witch hunt in American history." I gotta say, I'm excited because season two is when they start killing off the characters nobody likes.
Robert Mueller had a bouquet of long-stem subpoenas delivered to the White House. Hard to believe it's been a year since we found out our president doesn't know how to spell the word counsel, but time flies when you're having fun. Trump added, despite the disgusting, illegal, and unwarranted witch hunt, we've had the most successful first 17-month administration in U.S. history by far. Sorry to the fake news media and haters, but that's the way it is. No apologies are necessary. We appreciate you, too. A year's a long time for a witch hunt. Usually, they find the witches a lot sooner than that, and it's... become a big part of our lives. So to honor this important milestone, we put together a tribute today to 365 glorious days of witching and hunting as narrated by Glinda himself, our president, Donald Trump.
All we hear about is this phony Russia witch hunt.
The entire thing has been a witch hunt.
It's like a witch hunt. It's like a witch hunt.
I have this witch hunt constantly.
It's called the witch hunt. He knows it's a witch hunt.
The entire thing has been a witch hunt.
It is a pure witch hunt.
Witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt.
This is a witch hunt.
It's a total witch hunt.
Rudy knows it's a witch hunt.
The witch hunt continues.
This is a pure and simple witch hunt.
Now, Trump and Giuliani keep calling Mueller's probe a witch hunt, but in reality, it seems like almost everyone who is interviewed by Mueller's team comes out scared about how much he knows. Just take former Trump aide Michael Caputo, who said Mueller was still very interested in allegations of collusion.
These guys have got every single email, anything that's ever gone down, and they're clearly focused on trying to identify some Russian collusion.
You do not believe that they have ruled out the idea of that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia?
No, I don't think so at all. I think they're still focused on it. They know exactly what they're looking for, and they have emails backing it up. And I don't think that they ask any questions they don't already know the answer to. Thank goodness I watch a lot of cop TV.
I think with the Russia investigation, ultimately what you think about the investigation really depends on what you think of Trump. It's sort of like when you hear this.
Laurel. Laurel.
Yeah, like some people hear Laurel, while some idiots hear Yanny. Wow, a lot of Laurel fans. That's sort of how it is with the Russia investigation. If you like Trump, this is kind of what you hear.
It's a witch hunt. That's all it is. There was no collusion.
But if you don't like Trump, this is what you hear.
I'm getting away with it.
There was no collusion. You colluded. I didn't collude.
Rudy Giuliani claimed this weekend that special counsel Robert Mueller shared his timeline with the White House and promised that the obstruction investigation would be concluded by September. Well, we did some digging, and we got our hands on Mueller's full timeline for the investigation through September. Check it out. June 1st, draft questions for president. June 2nd, redraft questions for president using smaller words. June 3rd, redraft questions for president using straight-up pictures. July 10th, pause investigations while both sides team up to find Rudy Giuliani after he wanders off in Central Park. July 18th, locate Rudy Giuliani living amongst large flock of pigeons unharmed. July 20th, break Don Jr. July 21st, break Eric. July 22nd and July 30th, break for Shark Week at president's request. August 19th, narrow scope of questions from did you do it to when did you do it? August 31st, interview President Trump. September 1st, conclude investigation of President Trump. And finally, September 2nd, begin investigation of President Pence. Now, one of the big questions in that investigation has been whether special counsel Robert Mueller can indict the president. Basically, there's a debate about it. Justice Department guidelines say no, but others say he could. Yesterday, however, Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani said out of nowhere that he had been assured that Mueller would not try to indict Trump.
Giuliani is telling CNN tonight that he has been told by the special counsel, by Bob Mueller's team, that they cannot indict a sitting president.
I asked him specifically if they realized or acknowledged they didn't have the power to indict. And then the next day or the day after, they clarified it for Jay Sekulow, who was with me at the meeting, that they didn't have the power to indict.
Just think about how dumb this is. He's not saying the president's innocent. He's saying you can't indict him. It's like if your wife asked you where you've been all night and you said, cheating isn't grounds for divorce. Not only is Rudy not going on TV and proclaiming Trump's innocence, he's going on TV and, as usual, making him sound incredibly guilty. Last night, for example, he went on Fox News again, where he was asked about the allegations of Russian collusion against the Trump campaign, and Rudy tried to claim there was nothing wrong with getting dirt on your opponent from a foreign adversary.
When I ran against them, they were looking for dirt on me every day. I mean, that's what you do. Maybe you shouldn't, but you do it. Nothing illegal about that. And even if it comes from a Russian or a German or an American, it doesn't matter. And they never used it, is the main thing. They never used it. They rejected it.
Rejected it? Rejected what? Did Rudy Giuliani just go on TV and reveal that they did get dirt from the Russians and just didn't use it? Does anybody believe that Trump would get dirt on Hillary and decide not to use it?
No, I want to win fair and square. Put this dirt in my safe next to Obama's Kenyan birth certificate.
In fact, Rudy isn't the only Trump lawyer who's been on TV confessing the stuff. Trump's former divorce lawyer, Jay Goldberg, went on MSNBC this week, where he was asked about Michael Cohen's alleged mob ties, and out of nowhere, he basically seemed to confess that Cohen, Trump's fixer, paid off the mom on Trump's behalf when Trump was a real estate developer.
We hear a lot now about potential money laundering and the mafia. Why do you think that comes up with Michael Cohen?
Well, people involved in the building trades are at the mercy of the mob.
Do you think Michael Cohen's job at times was to keep the mob away from Donald Trump?
Well, if he says he was a fixer, then the question is, what did he fix? And what needed fixing? What needed fixing was relations with the mob.
The president was holed up in the White House over the weekend with no public events, while the New York Times and other outlets published one new bombshell after another about his campaign's ties to foreign governments. So naturally, Trump got up bright and early Sunday morning and unfurled one of his longest and most incoherent Twitter rants yet. In fact, it would take too long to have someone read the whole thing for you. So as it goes, we're just going to have to speed it up. Here it is.
Things are really getting ridiculous. The failing and crooked, but not as crooked as Hillary Clinton, New York Times has done a long and boring story indicating that the world's most expensive witch hunt has found nothing on Russia and me, so now they are looking at the rest of the world.
At what point does this soon-to-be $20 million witch hunt, composed of 13 angry and heavily conflicted Democrats and two people who have worked for Obama for 8 years, stop? They found no collusion with Russia, no obstruction, but they aren't looking at the corruption.
The Hillary Clinton campaign, where she deleted 33,000 emails, 141 million lost interest, paid the Cage's wife $700,000 to get off the FBI hook along with Terry Ann and so much more. Republicans and real Americans should start getting tough on this scam.
The witch hunt is giving up on Russia and is looking at the rest of the world. It should easily be
And don't worry about not being able to follow that. It actually makes less sense at normal speed. Trump is, in his usual way, conflating and lying about a whole bunch of issues. And one of them is a story published over the weekend about his son, Don Jr. Now, we already knew Don Jr. held that infamous Trump Tower meeting where he met with Russians offering dirt on Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign. But what we found out over the weekend was that it wasn't just Russia. The New York Times reports that Don Jr. also met secretly with an emissary for the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia who said the countries wanted to help Donald Trump win. Now, this story is crazy for a variety of reasons. For one thing, it was arranged by Eric Prince, the private security contractor and the former head of Blackwater. So Saudi princes, Don Jr., and the Blackwater guy. The only people missing from that meeting were Dr. Strangelove and Monty Byrne.
Excellent.
Now, Prince was interviewed by the House Intelligence Committee last year as part of their investigation, and in his sworn testimony, it really seems like he straight-up lied about his role in the Trump campaign, claiming he was just a casual supporter. What role did you play in the Donald Trump for President campaign? I played no official role or really unofficial role. I supported him monetarily. I attended some fundraisers. I wrote some papers on different foreign policy positions. So aside from writing these papers, donating, supporting, and a yard sign in my yard. Now let's just step back here and consider how many times Trump aides have lied or contradicted themselves in official testimony. When it comes to meetings with foreign governments during the campaign, just last week, the Senate Judiciary Committee released transcripts of its meeting with Don Jr. And here's one portion of that testimony where he changed his story multiple times in just a few sentences. What types of interactions were you aware of? Trump campaign officials and Russian government personnel? I was aware of none. Have you seen press reports about various meetings, such as with Ambassador Kislyak? If I could scratch my last statement, yes, I did read about that after the fact. Were you aware of those at the time they occurred? I knew something. I believe there was a meeting there. I wasn't part of the meeting, but yeah, I believe I was aware that it occurred. I didn't know about it. I knew about it after the fact. I knew about it when it happened. The official story from the Trump camp has always been that Trump himself was unaware of the meeting with the Russians. But then last week, Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, seemed to admit that he might have been aware at the time and just forgot about it. Giuliani said he would be surprised if the president knew at the time of the controversial June 2016 Trump Tower meeting. But even if he did, it would have made sense if it subsequently slipped his mind. Honestly, I would be surprised if he could remember. Don't worry, boss. I told him that maybe you knew about it, but you're too stupid to remember. You're welcome! And now, Trump is spinning a wild new conspiracy theory about the FBI implanting a spy in the Trump campaign. And he wants the government to look into it. Trump tweeted on Sunday.
Reports are there was indeed at least one FBI representative implanted for political purposes into my campaign for president. It took place very early on, long before the phony Russia hoax became a hot fake news story. If true, all-time biggest political scandal. That's right. I did it, folks. I broke the scandal record. Take that, Nixon.
Rudy Giuliani claimed that his legal team has been told off the record of an informant in the Trump campaign, which is hilarious, because Giuliani is like one of those rappers that sings about all the people he shot, and then he finally gets locked up for it and says, yo, I think somebody's snitching.
President Trump is calling on the Department of Justice to investigate whether the FBI planted a mole in his presidential campaign.
Staffers claim to distract from the substance of the Russian investigation. Among them, a saboteur, a traitor, the mole. The winner, the one who answers the question, who is the mole?
Who is the mole? Steve Bannon, occupation, dermatologist before model, skill, metabolizing alcohol. Donald Trump Jr., occupation, junior, skill, woman repellent. Kellyanne Conway, occupation, curse, talking broomstick, skill, ability to sleep at night. Paul Manafort, occupation, future inmate, skill, dictator fluffer. Eric Trump, occupation, warm body, skill, none.
Any one of them could be the mole.
I'm the one.
So how did we get here? Come with me now. Back to May of 2016, the FBI were yet to launch an investigation of the Trump's campaign ties to Russia. Enter Trump campaign aide and daughter's boyfriend giving you a fist bump, George Papadopoulos, who got drunk in May of 2016 and told an Australian diplomat the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, the FBI doesn't want to risk it getting out at this time that they were investigating a presidential campaign. So to keep everything on the DL, they got an American working at a British university to get close to Papadopoulos and find out what he knew under the pretense of offering him $3,000 to write a research paper. Rumor of this informant spread in Washington just this last week.
A lot of people are saying they had spies in my campaign. If they had spies in my campaign, that would be a disgrace to this country. That would be one of the biggest insults that anyone's ever seen, and it would be very illegal. Aside from everything else, it would make probably every political event ever look like small potatoes.
Trump summons Rosenstein and Ray to the White House and says, you got nothing. Can I see what you got? And here's the thing. They're going to do it. They're going to show the evidence to congressional Republicans and no Democrats. But it's not political. It's all perfectly innocent, according to Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani. Rudy says that Trump, the target of the investigation, didn't call the meeting. He called the meeting in his official capacity as president.
Now, the FBI did have an informant working with them, but that's not a spy. I mean, seriously, you think they needed a spy to catch you colluding with Russia? All they needed was a microphone. You literally looked into the camera on TV and said...
But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens. That'll be next. Yes, sir.
The immediate past director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who now says that Donald Trump won the presidency because of the Russian interference campaign to accomplish that. James Clapper is now saying that Trump wouldn't otherwise have won had it not been for what Russia did.
And I think logic tells us, Rachel, that James Clapper is probably right, because if you got an election that was decided by those 80,000 votes in three states, and we know what the Russians were doing, and that they were targeting voters in those three states, almost anything could have swung it, and you have to assume that if you delete the actions of the Russians, Donald Trump may not have been elected president.
The experience of Adlai Stevenson in 1960, who at least says he was approached by the Russian government in 1960, them telling him to run again. He told them no, and then he immediately reported it to the U.S. Government. Was that a big scandal at the time when that came to be known?
It was so much later. It came out, as you were saying, in 1977, that it didn't cause the kind of furor that it might have had that become known in 1960. But we now know, this is sort of one of the things that you find out when you, you know, look at these events later on as an historian. The Russians tried this a lot. When Stevenson said no, the Russians went to John Kennedy in 1960 and said, you know, Premier Khrushchev likes you, he'd like to see you elected. And Kennedy did the same thing. He said, thanks, but no thanks. 1964, Lyndon Johnson was president. 4th of September, the Soviet ambassador, Anatoly Dobrynin, and we've got this on tape, calls up Johnson and says, I just saw Nikita Khrushchev. He really likes you. He'd like to vote for you in his heart. How can we help? And Johnson quite rightly said, that's not the way we do it in this country. You know, let the American voters decide.
A sinkhole has opened up on the White House lawn, which is very interesting and weird because exactly 1 year ago today, a sinkhole opened at Mar-a-Lago, and now there's one outside the White House. I'm starting to think maybe God's aim is slightly off. Thanks for the song this week from
Fleetwood Mac, Brian, Dewan, the DBS,
the Clash,
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Stephen Colbert, Pete Davidson, Vanessa Bayer, Seth Myers,
Chris
Hayes, Leslie Stahl, Colin Jost,
Jimmy
Kimmel,
Michael
Caputo, Anderson Kupel, Rudy Giuliani, Ari, Melba,
Jay,
Goldberg, Alex, Witt, Montgomery, Burns,
Michael,
Che,
Rachel,
Maddow,
and Michael,
Beschloss.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.